The last two messages have been taken up with chapters 1 to 3 of the Revelation, and there we saw the messages sent to the seven churches or assemblies. This time we turn to chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine or sardius stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Now shall we think for a few moments about those verses? First of all, do remember that a door was opened in heaven. John was being shown heavenly things, and human words don't really describe heavenly things very satisfactorily. John did the best he could, with the Lord's help, of course, to describe what he saw. But some of it sounds very strange to us, because we're not even used to royal palaces on earth, let alone the wonders and majesty of heavenly things, are we? It's natural that a throne must be associated with a ruler, one who reigns. In this case, the one sitting on the throne is the Lord himself. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. Why should there be a rainbow? Keeping a finger in Revelation, will you turn back with me for a moment to Genesis 9? Genesis chapter 9. The preceding chapters tell us about Noah and the flood which came because of the awful things that were happening on this earth. There'd been a time of judgment, and in Revelation there's another time of judgment still to come. We saw too that Matthew 24 also said, As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So there are some similarities, and this rainbow is another. After Noah came out of the ark, the Lord talked to him about a number of things, and said in verse 11, Genesis 9, verse 11, And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. There was a promise made that never again would there be a flood such as Noah had seen, and a sign or token of that promise was given. Verse 12. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember that everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. That token, the bow in the cloud, is a reminder that although God must be just and righteous, yet he's also very merciful. He knows our human weaknesses. So now, turning back to Revelation 4, we find there a throne, and the Lord sitting there to reign and to judge. But there's also a rainbow round the throne. Yes, there's mercy to be found there as well as justice. Back in Genesis, the promise was given that there would never be such a terrible flood again. Here in Revelation, judgment is ahead, for once again the Lord will be dealing with sin. But after that, things will be different, just as Noah was able to leave the ark and live a normal life again when the flood was all over. There's a promise of better things to come. In verse 4, we read of 24 seats. Verse 4. This is Revelation again. Chapter 4, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Actually, the word translated seats is the same as the word for throne, so the verse should read, and round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders. There's little information given concerning these elders, but since they are on thrones and wearing crowns, they must also be reigning. The number 24 occurs several times in connection with the appointment of those taking on special duties in the temple back in Old Testament times, and there may be some connection there. Verse 5 says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. There's not only a rainbow, but lightnings and thunderings and voices associated with the throne, because it's a time of judgment. The 7 spirits of God are associated with the 7 angels of the 7 churches we've already read about in chapters 2 and 3. We shall find them mentioned again later. Verse 6 begins by telling us about a sea. Shall we read the first half of the verse? Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Although there are lightnings and thunderings, there's no suggestion of a storm on that sea. You see, there are 2 sides to this. God must be just and righteous, and this is a time of judgment. But the rainbow suggests mercy, and this sea suggests a calm, as a sea of glass like unto crystal, in spite of all that's going on around. The second half of the verse, verse 6, introduces us to 4 beasts, as our version puts it. Shall we read it first? Second half of verse 6. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. They sound quite extraordinary, don't they? It would be better if the word beasts were translated living ones. Shall we read on into verse 7? And the first living one was like a lion, and the second living one like a calf. And the third living one had a face as a man, and the fourth living one was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living ones had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now it seems probable that Isaiah saw these living ones, but he called them seraphim. Keeping a finger in Revelation, will you turn back to Isaiah 6? Isaiah comes a little way after the Psalms. Isaiah 6, verse 1. And the year that King Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see the similarity there with the number of wings and what they said. Turning back to Revelation 4, let us read on. Verse 9. Revelation 4, verse 9. And when those living ones give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now reading straight on into chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong, almighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now looking back over those verses, John saw a book written within and on the back, and it was sealed with 7 seals. Although there was a strong, almighty angel there, strength was not what was needed to open the book. It was a question of worthiness. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was found worthy to open the book and see its contents. John wept at this, but one of the elders said, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He was worthy. But who is that person called the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David? Our Lord was born of the tribe of Judah, and he's called the Lion of the tribe, the greatest one of the tribe. Judah was the kingly tribe. David, Solomon, and other kings came from the tribe of Judah. The root of David is, of course, a reference to the family tree. So our Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. He, the Lord, was the one, the only one, who was worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals. Verse 6 tells us that John said, verse 6, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 living ones, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lion of the tribe of Judah? No, a lamb as it had been slain. There's a big difference between a lion and a lamb, isn't there? To John, he was not the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but a lamb. That lamb stood as it had been slain. That sounds a strange expression, until you remember that our Lord was slain like a sacrificial lamb. He died on our behalf, but also he was raised again from the dead, so he could stand, even though he'd been slain. We shall find him called the Lamb many times in Revelation, so do remember the reason why. He was as a sacrificial lamb. He died on our behalf. I should like to say more than we've time for about that, and the fact that it takes us back to the time when the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt. They were told to kill the Passover lamb, and that's why the title Lamb is used in connection with our Lord. He was the greatest Passover lamb of all. But if you think about this, and I suggest you read Exodus chapter 12 if you don't know about it already. The Passover was to do with Israel. It has nothing to do with us, the Gentiles. So although it's true that our Lord died for us, Yet this title, the Lamb, would take the Jewish reader back in his own history to the time when his nation came out of Egypt. This and many more points tell us that the revelation concerns Israel and not us. But we're studying the book because we can see the days of this prophecy coming in the probably not far distant future. Before we leave the subject of the opening of the seals, I want to take you back for a moment to the prophecy of Daniel. Keeping a finger, though, in Revelation, turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel saw the closing up and sealing till the time of the end. Then in the Revelation, John saw the opening of the seals when he was taken in spirit to the time of the end. So there's a link between the two books, Daniel and the Revelation. Verses 8 to 10 tell us about what must be one of the most wonderful choirs imaginable. Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living ones and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The reference to kings and priests in verse 10 is another indication that Israel is being spoken of. They are the ones who are promised that they shall be kings and priests. After that new song has been sung, we find the angels joining in, verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living ones and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Thousands of thousands. How many is that? Beyond counting, isn't it? They all joined in, saying, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard our saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living ones said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. We come now to chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four living ones saying, Come and see. This then is the opening of the seals. But they weren't all opened one after the other, and that's all. Shall we see, first of all, how far apart the opening of these seals is recorded? There were seven of them, weren't there? Sealed with seven seals. Chapter 6, verse 1, sees the opening of the first one. And then verse 3, And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living one saying, Come and see. Verse 5, And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living one say, Come and see. Verse 7, And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And when he had opened the fifth seal, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Up to now, they've all come quite close together, haven't they? We shall have to see what actually took place between each in a moment. First, though, what about the seventh seal? You have to pass right over chapter 7 before you find it. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Well, now, we must return to the opening of the first seal and see the details. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four living ones saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. We must find out first who rides on the white horse. Turning on to chapter 19, Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. We read, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And verse 16. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There we have a rider on a white horse, who is the Lord himself. But the rider of the white horse in chapter 6 is not the same person. It says, a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. It seems as though it could be the same person, doesn't it? But we're warned of false Christs and false prophets, Satan's copies, his efforts to draw people away from the true Christ and gain their worship for himself. They'll come before the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns to this earth. We've already looked at Matthew 24, but I'd like to make a comparison between that chapter and Revelation 6. So keeping a finger in Revelation 6, will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew 24. You probably remember that the disciples had asked the Lord certain things, including when his second coming was to take place. His reply began in verse 4. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The chart enclosed with this tape has been copied from Mr. Welsh's book, This Prophecy, as I think it will help you. If you've not already put it out where you can see it, I suggest you do so now and follow the references on it. We're going to turn backwards and forwards between Revelation 6 and Matthew 24, so try to keep both places. Turning to Revelation 6 again, verse 3 records the opening of the second seal. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living one say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, that's war, isn't it? Peace taken from the earth. Going back to Matthew 24, verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We'll finish that verse in a minute. There's peace gone, and wars in its place. Back again to Revelation 6, verse 5. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living one say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living ones say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine. So frequently famine follows war, and the colour of this horse, black, is a symbol of famine. The pair of balances suggests the careful weighing out that goes with famine. Rations, so much and no more. So often when reading the Bible, you need to think back to the conditions of the days in which it was written. John would understand shortage, with its consequent high prices, by the cost stated here as compared with what he was used to. In those days it was usual to pay 1/8 of a penny for a measure of wheat, but here the price is quoted as a whole penny for a measure of wheat. Care must be taken too with regard to the oil and the wine. These were vital foodstuffs in great shortage. Looking back to Matthew 24, verse 7 continued, the middle of verse 7, and there shall be famines. Once again going back to Revelation 6, we find the opening of the fourth seal in verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living one say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. This horse is of a deathly colour. His rider was called Death, and he was given power to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. To kill with death sounds strange, but it means to kill in a particularly dreadful way, pestilence and plague. So here is pestilence, and that's the next word used in Matthew 24, verse 7. The next seal, Revelation 6, verse 9, is the fifth seal. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That's mentioned in Matthew 24, 2, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Martyrdom. Revelation 6, verse 12, records the opening of the sixth seal. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Similar verses occur in Matthew 24, verse 29. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, such shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now those verses in Matthew lead up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Reading on in Revelation 6, we are brought to the same point. So let us finish the chapter. Revelation 6, verse 14. Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Perhaps you hadn't thought about his second coming as being quite like that. But you see, the Lord's people would not be able to rejoice in his second coming unless those who have opposed and persecuted them are dealt with by the Lord. We've already read something of the awful martyrdom that will take place, and those responsible will have to be dealt with. The next chapter in Revelation, chapter 7, begins, And after these things, but a better translation would probably be, After this, I saw. In other words, what John was then shown does not follow on after chapter 6 as far as the fulfillment is concerned. The events following are an expansion of what we've already read about the opening of the seals. We can't deal with chapter 7 this time, but next time we shall actually be going over these early chapters and seeing them in greater detail by looking at chapter 7. But until next time, may God bless and keep you.